السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كذبت قبلهم قوم نوح فكذبوا عبدنا وقالوا مجنون وازدجر، فدعا ربه أني مغلوب فانتصر. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama e Ikram, most respected brothers in Islam, we are discussing the Hadith Sharif of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes it simple and easy for those ummatis of his who are weak like us. The mafhoom of that Hadith was that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said, many sahaba have reported it, that if a person cannot get up for tahajjud salat, then at least he should not commit any sins during the day. Inshallah, on the day of qiyamah, this person will be raised with those people who are performing tahajjud salat. Of course, if those people who are performing tahajjud salat were also staying away from sins, then their stages will be higher, but at least this person will be raised with those people, that he was staying away from sins. Because it is not possible for every person to make tahajjud salat, although the jurists have made it easy, which you have heard many times by now, that if a person makes two rakats of namaz between his sunnat of isha, the two rakat sunnat, and the three rakat witr, between the two, if he makes two rakat namaz with the niyat of tahajjud, inshallah he will get the sawab of Salatul Layl. But what we are discussing is that the person was desirous of getting up in the early part of the morning when everybody is fast asleep. At that time he wants to get up and make the Tahajjud Salat, but due to weakness he cannot seem to accomplish that. Then at least during the day stay away from all haram. Stay away from haram, because that is the major test. That is something that brings a pain upon a person's heart, when he has to give up something that is haram. So this person was staying away from haram. Then Allah Ta'ala will raise him with those that were making tahajjud. Then we said that those people who cannot fast, they cannot keep too much of nafil fast, optional fast, they do not have the himmat, the courage, the strength. So then they should control their tongues, control it from ghibat, control it from taking false qasams, control it from swearing, cursing, talking vulgar things, all kinds of haram that are related to the tongue. Try and control the tongue during the day from all haram. Inshallah, this person will get those rewards of those fasting people, those who are keeping nafil fast. And then we were discussing jihad, that those people who cannot go for jihad, they cannot go and give their lives in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's cause, they have got a weakness, whatever that weakness may be. So these people too should not be disappointed. They should not think that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is only for those very fit, healthy and strong. If these people restrain themselves, if they make jihad against the nafs, the whole day there is a need for this jihad against the nafs. No matter how much of jihad may be taking place in other parts of the world, which we cannot go and participate in, but there is one jihad that all of us can participate in all the time, and that is the jihad against the nafs. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, when the people, the sahaba e kiram, returned from jihad, he said that Raja'na minal jihad il akbar, minal jihad il asghar ila jihad il akbar. That we have returned from jihad e asghar. He called that jihad e asghar, smaller jihad. And he called this jihad against the nafs as jihad e akbar. Because all the time there is temptation, this temptation. So this person has to go on fighting, go on fighting. So this is the point that we were discussing. Inshallah, we hope to go a little further. But since there is going to be a collection that will be made for the brothers who are suffering in Turkey, And the Muslim Ummah is one body, one soul. Wherever a person is suffering, even one Muslim suffering in some other part of the world, the entire Muslim Ummah should feel the pain, should feel the suffering. And one weakness which I have pointed out in the past also of ours is this, that whenever a calamity, whenever a disaster strikes some area, immediately we say, due to plenty of sins that they have been committing, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent azab there. In other words, we have absolved ourselves, that we have given ourselves a clean bill of health. That alhamdulillah, as far as I am concerned, my health is very, very good. Clean. There is no damage at all to my health. If I look at my life, there is no weakness, no shortcoming, no sins. Somewhere in another part of the world, they were committing a lot of sins. They were gambling. They were indulging in crime. They were going to the cinemas, theaters, discos. In their homes, there was plenty of TV viewing of filth and haram. And they were indulging in other kinds of vices and sins. And therefore, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent azab upon them. And they deserve it. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. That should not be our attitude. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, it is mentioned in the hadith, he says that do not express any kind of happiness at the suffering of somebody else. For you do not know Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala could remove his suffering and then cause you to suffer that same problem and pain. So therefore those people who experience a kind of a happiness or satisfaction in just throwing some kind of a blame upon them and say that because they were committing a lot of sins, therefore you saw what happened, azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala came upon them. That should not be our attitude. What we should say is that azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala comes upon people wherever in any part of the world, wherever they may be, who indulge in plenty of sins and plenty of crime, and when they reject the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it is the system of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He sends warning signs. He gives a little bit of jolt and a shake up so that people in other parts of the world may take a lesson. And at the same time, this disaster becomes a means for those people to open up their hearts and get an opportunity to make their sadqa and to make their khairat and to give their charities and donations. For if there had been no poor person in this world, we would not have had the opportunity of giving our zakat to any person. If there was no sick person in this world, we would not have had the opportunity of getting the rewards and the sawab of iyadat, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned in the hadith sharif, that when you go to a sick person, you will find Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala there. So how would we have got that sawab if there was no sick person? If there was nobody in difficulty, nobody in hardship, nobody in problem, then we would not have been having an opportunity of expressing those great sifats of sympathy, of love, of affection, of kindness. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in His hikmat, He knows best. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows best why azab comes on a certain area and not another area. But as far as we are concerned, when the azab has already come, then we should not say that they deserved it, na'uzu billah. At that time, we should take a lesson from there and we should go out of our way to assist and help them. But if we have to look at the Quran Sharif, then again the same point which I have been discussing, that it is sins which have brought about disasters upon mankind. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives a long rope. He gives a long rope. One person came to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, or one person was arrested in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. He was arrested for drinking. So he said, "Oh Umar, Amirul Mumineen, this is the first time that I have committed this crime." Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an said that, "No, it cannot be the first time. It is not the habit of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to punish a person the first time that he commits a crime. The first time if he committed some sin and he made a lot of tawbah and istighfar, Allah Ta'ala forgives that person. But when that person becomes persistent, he just goes on and on. He says, yesterday I committed this sin, nothing happened to me. Last year I committed it so many times, nothing happened to me. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives this person a rope that go on, carry on. Let us see how far you can go. Then again that ayat of the Quran Sharif comes to mind. And then why should we not repeat it, even if you have heard it many, many times? فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. When they forget to heed those advices that the Nabis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala come and give them, they just ignore it. They say, well, these things happened to the people in the past and it will go on happening. Our grandfathers were afflicted with these type of problems, and at present if we are afflicted, it is nothing different. In other words, they just give it no real importance. It does not shake them from their slumber and their sleep and from their ghaflat. Then Allah Ta'ala opens the doors. Instead of tightening it, instead of making this person's life miserable, instead of making this person now poor, instead of depriving him of everything, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opens the doors of his ni'mats. Allah Ta'ala showers it upon this person. He gets good health, he gets plenty of money, he gets gold, silver, and he gets all kinds of comfort and enjoyment. So this person now believes that if my Allah was displeased with me, then why is he giving me so much? Why is there no taklif coming upon me? Why am I not being punished? But then Allah Ta'ala says, Hatta iza farihu bima utu. When he is in the midst of the enjoyment of those ni'mats, when he is enjoying it, and he has forgotten Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala says, Akhaznahum bakhtatan. We just catch them very suddenly, very suddenly. That is where the danger lies. That Allah Ta'ala's azab comes very suddenly. While the people are sleeping, Allah Ta'ala's azab come. While they are playing, Allah Ta'ala's azab come. While they are in entertainment and music and fun and laughter, Allah Ta'ala's azab comes away. So here, if the nations of the past, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala did not mention their incidents in the Quran Sharif for us just to read it as stories. At present, stories are told to children. So just like that, we too regard all these things as stories. Whereas the Quran Sharif is not just for storytelling. It is for the people of all times to take a lesson. Now the disaster struck Turkey. It was shaken up. As I just mentioned, that we must have sympathy, love and affection. We must extend our hand of aid and assistance. But taking a lesson is for us. We must take a lesson. That the Prime Minister of Turkey, what does he say? Now he is going to take to task all those people who were involved in the construction of those buildings. There's no doubt that you have to check the construction of buildings, you have to check the engineers, you have to check the engineering standards, everything, that's in its place. But the impression that is given to the outside world is that if only our engineers had done a solid job, then these buildings would not have collapsed. Throughout history, if you have to look at it, look at all the articles that appeared after some disaster somewhere, especially when bridges collapsed, buildings collapsed, earthquake took place and there was so much of damage and destruction, then the first thing that man looks at is that where did we go wrong with regards to our engineering standards and with regards to our building constructions. In California, when the disaster struck and thousands of people lost their lives and all those multi-billion bridges all collapsed, then at that time again they said, look for the damage and the fault there. There is no harm in finding the material problem, but we must also look into the Quran Sharif, that what does Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala say? Does it mean that if the engineers had done their job, if the engineers had done a solid job, or if the buildings were constructed very solid and very strong, then they would have been able to resist this mighty power of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? They would not have come crumbling down. So let us look at the Quran Sharif. What does Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala say? Let us very briefly just look at two or three ayats. Allah Ta'ala talks about Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and his people. And we all know that Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, for more than 900 years he went to the people, he kept on calling them day and night, come and believe in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he will bless you with forgiveness of your sins, he will do this for you, he will do that for you, he will give you a life of peace and happiness. But every time they rejected. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam told them, قُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. How many promises Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is telling them, that if you make tawbah and istighfar from your sins, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive you your sins. He is very forgiving, he is very merciful, he likes forgiveness. Turn towards him. Never mind you rejected me all this time, but now accept Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as your Lord, your Creator, your Sustainer. Believe in him and obey me. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will forgive you. He is Ghaffar. He will send down rain for you in abundance. Rain also which will be pleasant, which will be beneficial. It is not going to cause any kind of destruction on your crops. It is not going to turn into flood waters. Allah Ta'ala will strengthen you with children. He will give you sons. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give you plenty of wealth. But they kept on rejecting and making a mockery of him. So then what did Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam do? كذبت قبلهم قوم نوح فكذبوا عبدنا وقالوا مجنون وازدجر. The people of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, they rejected Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told, كذبت قبلهم قوم نوح. Before you, the qawm of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, they rejected Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. فَكَذَّبُوا عَبْدَنَا, they rejected our servant. Allah Ta'ala says, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was amongst you like any ordinary human being is amongst other human beings. But he was not just an ordinary human being. He was our servant. We had chosen him as a Nabi. We had chosen him to give you the invitation towards Haqq. And when you rejected him, it was not rejection of him, it was our rejection. That same example which again you may have heard, that policeman that is standing somewhere, and when he raises his hand and stops the traffic, then the person who is driving the car, sometimes he is much more strong and powerful. He could be a wrestler, and that policeman might not have even had that kind of training. And this person is a karate expert, is an expert in martial arts and so many other disciplines, and he can knock that policeman off. But why does he obey that little policeman? We go to Saudi Arabia, some of those policemen, they look like 15, 16 year old children. But when they stop the traffic, the person has to stop. Why? Because the person believes that he could be very tiny, but behind him there is a whole government. So here also, no matter who is giving that invitation towards the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he could be insignificant in our sight. But the invitation that he is giving towards haq and towards truth, it is the invitation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore Allah ta'ala's whole government is behind that, provided the person has sincerity and ikhlas. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu, the Quran Sharif tells us, فَكَذَّبُوا عَبْدَنَا, they rejected our servant. Allah ta'ala says, we were behind him. We were allowing him to go through all these difficulties and trials and hardships as a test and strengthening him. But it was not that we were ghafil, that we were not observing him. But then the time came. فَكَذَّبُوا عَبْدَنَا وَقَالُوا مَجْنُونَ, they said he is majnoon, he is mad, as is common, that the people are mad. And they took him out, they chased him out.
فَدَعَا رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصِرْ.
So he called out to his Rabb. Finally he got tired and he called out to his Rabb that I have become overcome. فَانْتَصِرْ, so help me. Then look at the words.
فَفَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَاءٍ مُنْهَمِرٍ وَفَجَّرْنَا الْأَرْضَ عُيُونًا فَالْتَقَى الْمَاءُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ قَدْ قُدِرٍ.
Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, فَفَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ, we opened the doors, floodgates of waters from the heavens, we opened it. فَفَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَاءٍ مُنْهَمِرٍ, floodgates from the heavens of water pouring down. And what does Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala say?
فَفَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَاءٍ مُنْهَمِرٍ وَفَجَّرْنَا الْأَرْضَ عُيُونًا فَالْتَقَى الْمَاءُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ قَدْ قُدِرٍ.
وَفَجَّرْنَا الْأَرْضَ عُيُونًا, and we caused the earth to gush forth springs of water. We caused it to gush forth. Now the water from the ground is rising and the water from the top is pouring. What will be the result? We all know that it's only those people who were with Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, those 84 odd people, Allah Ta'ala saved them on that boat, and the rest of them were completely drowned. Now if at that time the engineers have to be blamed, that why didn't not they do a solid job with regards to the earth, that they should have sealed off any kind of water gushing forth from there? Would it have made sense to anybody? When Allah Ta'ala is sending it from the top, and Allah Ta'ala is bringing it up from the ground, then which person can stop that azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? The same if you have to look at with the qawm Aad.
كَذَّبَتْ عَادٌ فَكَيْفَ كَانَ عَذَابِي وَنُزُرْ إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا صَرْصَرًا فِي يَوْمِ نَحْسٍ مُسْتَمِرٍ تَنْزِعُ النَّاسِ كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ مُنْقَيْرٍ.
When we read the Quran Sharif, when we see the force and the power of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it should shake up the heart of any believer. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that kazzabat Aad, people of Aad also, they rejected their Nabi. Then what did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala do? Inna arsalna alayhim rihan sarsaran. Allah ta'ala says, we sent against them a violent wind. We sent against them a furious wind on the day of violent disaster. And it was plucking men out of the ground. It was plucking the people up from the floor or from the road or from the street or wherever they were walking. And it was taking them and dropping them onto the ground as if they were roots of palm trees that had been plucked up from the ground. Like how huge palm trees you find. It is just uprooted and thrown onto the ground. People of Aad who were 6 foot or 10 foot tall, and they were mighty people. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala caused the wind to just to pick them up and pluck them and throw them flat onto the ground. And how long did this wind last? Sab'a layalim wa samaniyat ayyam. 7 days. 7 days and 8 nights. 7 nights and 8 days. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, imagine a wind of that speed, just 200 kilometer or 300 kilometer gale force wind, and then we read in the papers that the cars and the trucks and everything were just picked up and dropped. So again there Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what does he say? For arsalna, we sent alayhim against them. So the message is very loud and clear that when Allah ta'ala is sending this violent wind against somebody, then the mighty powers of the world, all the engineers and all the philosophers and everybody put together, nobody can stop and prevent Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab from wiping out that city or destroying the people of that area. Inna arsalna. Kazzabat Samud bin Nuzur. Again comes to Samud. Hazrat Salih alayhi salatu wasalam's whole history is mentioned. Inna arsalna alayhim sayhatan wahida. Just one mighty blast, and everybody is flat on the ground. So my brothers, there is no time to really go into details. If you look at all the nations of the past, you will find one thing in common, that they rejected their Nabis. Whenever they were warned, they made a big joke. They said that this is just a fairy tale, and they continued, they were persistent in their life of sin and vice. They refused to make tawbah. They refused to turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If you have to take Fir'aun, if you have to take Haman, if you have to take Qarun, again the same story we get, that when they rejected and they continued this in this line of rejection, they failed to understand that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to severely punish them if they do not turn away from this life of sin and vice. Then suddenly the azab of Allah ta'ala comes. Suddenly. Then you can put the blame on everybody. So we must take a lesson. That is the whole purpose of this, these stories in the Quran Sharif. That we must take a lesson. If some disaster strikes somewhere, then as I just explained at the beginning of the talk, that we must sympathize. We must have affection. We must show love. We must give charities. We must give donations. We must assist them in whichever way we can. We should not express any kind of happiness and satisfaction in our heart. And neither should we just go on talking about it, that they were committing sins, therefore azab came on them. What do we know? What do we know? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, where he is going to cause such disasters to strike? Have we got guarantee that it cannot happen in South Africa? But in conclusion, I would like to give you one warning. And that is the warning that I have been giving repeatedly. That brothers, if you have to look at all vehicles, whether it's a motor car, whether it's a truck, whether it's a bus, whether it's an aeroplane, whether it's a train, whatever kind of transport you can think of, everyone has got a brake. Everyone has got a brake. If there's no brake, then there will be disaster all the time. Accidents upon accidents, accidents upon accidents. Because there's no brake. So we haven't heard, even the aeroplane must have a brake. Every vehicle has to have a brake. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the brake that he has given us to resist temptation when it is coming very strongly to commit sin, whether it is fornication, whether it is adultery, whether it is gambling, whether it is drinking, whatever it may be, womanizing, at that time the brake is the constant remembrance of this death. For we do not know when it is going to strike. Now just imagine at that time when the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala comes in the form of earthquake. How many people, especially in these countries, where there are plenty of nightclubs, plenty of gambling dens, plenty of prostitution quarters, plenty of escort agencies, and plenty of cinemas and theaters. In fact, if you have to read the brochures, they invite you to these countries to come and enjoy all that fun and entertainment. Now imagine at that time, thousands of Muslims can be in hotel rooms. It's a 10-story hotel of 20-story building, and in hundreds of rooms, and in so many other hotels, and so many places. We do not know where a person is committing zina at that time. How many people were in the cinemas at that time? How many people were in theaters at that time? How many people had the bottle in their hands at that time? They did not know that within a second or so, the earth is going to shake, and within 45 seconds, the entire building is going to crumble. So before the desire comes, or when the desire comes to commit zina, to commit any adultery, fornication, or drink, or gamble, or any kind of sin, at that time, put this brake on, slam it on, not slowly, that we will crawl to a halt. Slam it on if we want peace, if we want happiness, and if we do not want to die a death which will embarrass our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. I was mentioning this every time. I mentioned it one of my majlis the other Sunday, that we had a report of a person who was a namazi, but he was glued to the television. Suddenly his head jerked and he collapsed and he was gone. As if that was not much, just 3 days later, in one of the upcountry towns, a person telephoned me from there. He says, "Sir, a certain person, he was found on the bed of a non-Muslim woman in her house, just two of them." I said, just find some excuse for the person. Probably he went there to collect his rental. Probably he went there for some other reason, and he died there. We just have to find excuses for our brothers. I said, don't cause any embarrassment to that family. Just try and cover it up. If we are going to cover the faults of others, Allah will cover our faults. But we should take lessons. We should take lessons. Those people who are indulging in haram, how long? How long? When will the day come that we will turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Because Allah wants to bless us. He wants to give us the best of this world and the best of the akhirah. He doesn't want to deprive us. He wants to pour upon us His ni'mats. But all he wants is a little bit of repentance, a few tears of repentance, and giving up the sins in our lives. And when this person is going to give up the sins in his life, make mujahidah against his nafs all the time, then this person who is making jihad against his nafs is like those people who are making jihad in the battlefield. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you, and everyone the tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.